Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a TV show on the Food Channel called Man vs. Food. I think we've talked about it in one of the sermons before. It's about a man named Adam, very appropriately, who goes around and visits restaurants all over the United States looking for the biggest four-foot pancake, the skyscraper-high hamburger, and biggest pizza, the hottest, spiciest food of all time. And he tries to eat like a half dozen all in one sitting just to get his name up on a board and all the glory that comes from beating the man versus food challenge. Others call it gluttony. It's not the kind of show you want to be watching during Lent, especially on Fridays. We're supposed to be fasting in Lent, right? Maybe even from TV. Today in our text, however, for this second Sunday in Lent, they teach us not about man versus food, but people versus profit, complement or competition. And the Lutheran question today, what does this mean? In the Old Testament, we heard about Jeremiah, the prophet, a prophet of God, who, according to the text, was preaching against the city of Jerusalem, the people, and so effective was he at preaching against them that the people wanted to take him outside and kill him. That's not complimentary. That's competition of the worst kind. Similarly, in the New Testament, we heard about Jesus, the prophet. He also was preaching against Jerusalem, and so effective was he as well. His message, like Jeremiah's, was that God had forsaken Jerusalem. God, kind of like Elvis, had left the building. And there, it was necessary for them to turn back to God with all their heart. Both the people in the Old Testament and the New Testament doubted the prophet. Rather than believing the message was from God, they plotted ways of making the prophet go away. In the Old Testament, they plotted to kill Jeremiah. And in the New, they tried to scare Jesus by claiming that Herod, the king, wanted to kill Jesus so he would go away. Summing up both of these lessons, we learn this. People doubt and dislike prophets and get mad at messages of God's pending judgment, for it's sinful human nature to reject God. But a prophet stands firm. Not in his own strength, but in the Lord's power and purpose, knowing that even in death, God's will wins. Let us consider the first part. People doubt and dislike prophets and get mad at messages of judgment. This is true. I think it's safe to say that all people in all times and places like being somewhat spiritual, to a degree. They like to hear about a God who's basically harmless and doesn't impose or want too much. Someone you can light a candle to and say a prayer to now and then, but not someone whom you owe your whole life and must listen to with attentive ears. People don't necessarily like the spirituality of true Christian teaching that calls for an honest hearing about man's sin and God's answer. Both the call to repentance and the call to faith. People would rather be content with half-truths about man and God, but not the whole truth. Half-truths like these. God gave Abraham land. People like that. God favored David and gave him good things. They like that too. But that God allowed for Abraham and David to be punished for turning away from God, people don't like that. Jeremiah prophesied that Jerusalem would fall like the city Shiloh. That upset Jerusalem's hearers. Ironically, Shiloh's name means tranquil or secure, but it wasn't. God allowed that city to be destroyed, just as God allowed the earth to be flooded, just as God allowed Lot's wife to be turned into a pillar of salt, just as God tore down the Tower of Babel and dashed the plans of the people because of their sin and unbelief. But the difference between Abraham and David and all the people is that Abraham and David heard the call to repent and repented. They also believed in a merciful God. The question is, what about the people in Jeremiah's day, or even in our day? Will we hear the judgment of God against our sins and repent, or will we kill the messenger? We know what they did with Jesus. Maybe we wouldn't kill Jesus today. Maybe we wouldn't kill any prophet who preached against us and our sins. Maybe, maybe not. Maybe we just turn up the iPod so we couldn't hear it. Maybe we just turn the channel so we don't have to listen to that preacher. Or maybe we just simply stop going to those churches that preach the law. People didn't like Jeremiah's message of judgment against that city, Jerusalem, the holy city of Jerusalem. They reasoned that no prophet of God opposes the God, the city that God gave them. I guess they forgot how God doesn't favor you just because you stand with 2 feet on this side of a city border or on that side of the border, or because you pay your taxes to the right municipality. Rather, God favors and saves because of where one's heart lives and where you pay your vows. He saves by grace through faith in Christ Jesus, the Messiah. He wants to know whether people from all cities are willing to listen to the judgment and then also listen to his mercy. He wants to know whether people believe that God himself promised and now has fulfilled the great crossing of all borders, the descent that God made from heaven, past the recesses of space and time, past ocean shores, past city lines, going throughout all creation, even passing by sin and into death's lap, and then into hell, in order that God's children, his beloved, would be saved. Whether you believe you did these things for you. Jesus says in our text today, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it, how often I would have gathered you as a chicken would gather her chicks underneath her wing, and you would not. Jesus reveals that God desires Jerusalem to be gathered under God the right way, humbly gathered underneath his righteous wing, not trying to fly by the seat of their own self-righteousness. The people wanted it their way, and by God, they'd even kill the prophets to get what they want. Competition! The Lord's prophet, however, stands firm, not in his own strength, but in the Lord's power and purpose, that even in death, God's will wins. Look how Jeremiah in the Old Testament didn't run away when his life was threatened. Rather, he said to the people, "The Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and the city all the words that you have heard. Now, therefore, mend your ways and your deeds and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will relent of the disaster that he pronounced against you. But as for me, behold, I am in your hands. Do with me as seems good and right to you. Only know for certain that if you put me to death, you will bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon the city and all of its inhabitants. For in truth, the Lord sent me to you to speak all these things in your ears." Even threatened with death, Jeremiah sticks to the script, the words that God gave him, the words of judgment, and the words of grace. Likewise, today, when threatened with death by Herod, Jesus said, "Go and tell that fox, behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow and the third day I finish my course," a reference to his death and his resurrection. "Nevertheless, I must go on my way today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish away from Jerusalem. Behold, your house is forsaken. And I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" In other words, God's purpose wouldn't be snuffed out by a little death threat. After all, death is the reason why Jesus came. This is the one who came who would die in the place for the many, the Lamb, even for the sins of those who reject and kill the prophets. Through Jesus' death, Jerusalem really will be Shiloh, that is tranquil and secure. God's purpose in sending prophets, including Jesus, wasn't for competition, but for a complement. Chicks need a mother hen, or else they die. Sheep need a shepherd. Wayward sheep need someone to tell them, turn back. You're going the wrong way. That way leads to death. But God's way leads to life. The tension of people versus prophet is resolved when people, God's people like you and me, listen close to the whole message of God to see that God is pointing out our sins for a greater purpose. If we don't acknowledge our sin, then we will never understand or appreciate the gift of His Son. Therefore, His prophets preach both the law and the gospel, the judgment and the cure, in order that we know the greatest need of all of our lives and the most gracious gift that God has given to us in His Son. As Jesus said in our text, and what was said of Jesus on Palm Sunday, the day when He rode into Jerusalem to die, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the prophet Jesus and his life given and shed for your sins. Blessed is his name. Blessed are the people who repent and believe that in this death of God in Christ Jesus, God has won salvation for all. Blessed is he who believes that God's prophets are not here for competition, but for complementary purposes. Blessed is he, therefore, who repents and believes the good news. Christ Jesus is the prophet who forgives the people of God. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We rise to confess our faith.